Well, thank you, Rob, for your welcome. I'm almost wishing I wasn't here. Because I'm feeling a bit emotional. So I hope I can get through this and not disappoint you this morning, but it's so wonderful to see you all. And we've only been gone 3 months, but particularly the last 2 weeks, my, how we've missed you all. And there has even been tears. So it's fantastic to see you all again. And you will always be our church. And you will always be the people that we love very much. And as Steve said, it's overwhelming to see what God has done here, and particularly with you young people. And when I come back in another 10 years, I expect one of Jade or Brendan or I don't know, maybe Timonako will be preaching. Amen? And you won't be in this hall, it'll be too small. Because all of Takanini will be worshipping. That's what I hope for. Well, it's my job to do the serious part. I don't have a skit or a rap or anything cool like that to do. Yeah, you start. But I would like to do something that really, it's the only thing I can do, and that's share God's word with you. I want to pray first, just to probably gather my own thoughts, and then we're going to read Psalm 115. Let's pray. Father, our great, marvelous God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for all of your amazing, overwhelming, abundant, rich kindness, mercy, and love. Lord, today we want to drink in those things. And Lord, we want to be filled with them so that we know what it is to rejoice and to joy in the living God. And Lord, we also want to be filled with these things so that we can take them and share them as a precious eternal message with our friends, with our community. Father, we thank you so much for who you are today. And Lord, bless us in every way, Lord, in Christ our Saviour, so that indeed we are enriched in our lives in you today. And Lord, we assume and we presume nothing in that, Lord, everyone here today is born again, is saved. We hope that is the case, but Lord, we dare not presume that, and so we pray that even as we share now the bread of life, your word, with each other, that those who are not of faith in you would come to faith, even right here today in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read Psalm 115 for you. I'm going to share a few words with you from the psalm. Helen said to me this morning, you're not studying your sermon. You're not going through it like she normally sees me do. And I said, well, I don't want to, because if I do, the more I prepare, the more I'm going to say, and the more I say, the longer you'll be here. And I don't want that to be the case today, because it is a long time that we are here this morning. The people in Palmerston North have already discovered that some of my sermons do go past 30 minutes, Rob. And I've had to, one of them I think I took 2 or 3 weeks to get through. Pray for those people. Psalm 115 says, why do... That's not the psalm I'm meant to be reading. I'm starting in verse 2, aren't I? It says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but they cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but they cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens among belong to the Lord, but the Lord has given to man. But the earth he has given to man. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. This morning I was woken by a rather disturbing dream. I don't often care much for my dreams. I regard them as just literally fascinations of a wandering, empty mind. But this morning I had a dream just before I woke up for the first time. And the dream was I was watching the World Cup rugby final. Now, it wasn't a spiritual dream for those of you who are very pious. I've let you down already. But the two teams playing the final, not one of them was wearing a black jersey. And I woke up with a start, thinking, no, that happened in 2007. And I can remember the moment when I found out, because Helen and I were overseas. And I was in church, and I was thinking about it. How did they get on? And actually, Mark's brother John was in the same church in America. And I went to John, and I said, John, what was the score? He just looked at me with a sad face and said, you don't want to know. And so this morning, my dream startled me a lot. And frightened me just a little bit. I hope it's not a prophetical dream. And I began to think about Graham Henry, thinking the last time people wanted to literally just about kill him, didn't they? I was one. And I thought, well, what's going to happen this time? He will have to leave the country, won't he? But I tried to think more positive thoughts then. What if there is a black jersey team in the final, and what if they win? Who will then get the glory? Who will get the praise? Most likely it will be Uncle Graham, won't it? People will say, you're forgiven for 2007 now. You are just the most wonderful, wonderful coach the All Blacks have ever, ever had. He will be heaped upon. He'll probably get a knighthood. That's if he already hasn't got one. He probably will. He will get the glory. Maybe Richie and Dan will get, you know, new advertising contracts and so on. But I suggest the coach will be the one who gets all the glory. Well, as Steve said earlier on this morning, today is a day to praise God. And today is a day above all, not just to praise Him because He's what He's done for us, but to reflect to Him glory, exaltation, to bless the name of God. Why? Because we're here. Because we're here in this hall this morning, 10 years after we met in a little hall down the road there on the Great South Road. Hey, Rosemary? Yep. You see, over the life of this church, over the last 10 years or so, some people in this church, people like Rosemary and others, have given a lot for the church. Some have sacrificed much for the church. And they deserve praise. They deserve thanks. They deserve blessing. But I hope you agree with me this morning that when I look around and when I'm listening to these young guys and girls up here, it was always a dream of mine to see young people from the community at the front of the church. That was always a dream. And to see it actually happening, we've got to give glory where it's due, don't we? And that is to God alone. We want to say to God today, Lord, You are glorious and You are worthy of all we are, or all we do, all we will do. It's all Yours. Not to us, the psalm writer says, but to You, Lord. You take the glory. How does the psalm writer give God the glory? Well, he says, first, I want to give God the glory for the past, for the things that God has done. The psalm writer looks back to days that were, if you say, not clear for him how things would work out. Days when life was uncertain, days when he wasn't sure how what he needed to rule the kingdom would be provided for. But he looks back and he says, we give You the glory because of Your love and Your, what? Faithfulness. Well, I know, when we look back in the early days and early life of this church, we had the same, sometimes, misgivings about how things would turn out. You know, when people say to you, have you thought about starting a new church? The first thoughts that come to your mind are human thoughts, like, well, who would want to come to a church with me running it, or Steve there? I mean, who would want to? And so you're faced with many fears and doubts. But you see, where are those fears and doubts coming from? Well, they're coming from an idea that you're going to be a bit of a bigger cheese in the whole situation than maybe what God is going to be. Psalm writer here in this psalm, he looks back and he says, Lord, You are glorious and You deserve all that I am and all that I have. You deserve all my praise, all my blessings, all my glory, because in the past I have to say to You, Lord, You have been utterly and completely faithful and You have loved us as a people more than I could have imagined. See, the psalm writer, take note of the language, people. Young people, take note of the language. The psalm writer here has absolutely no doubts about God. He has no doubts about the faithfulness, the trust worthiness of God. God will has not, will not let him down ever. Now, you can say, well, that's a guy who wrote a book, a few verses in the holy book, you know, the Bible. That's God's book. That guy, he was probably a churchy guy who lived in a sort of a little Christian community, and he was never really exposed to the rough and tumble of life. He never had people come up to him and say, oh, you trust in God? Yeah, rubbish. You're a fool. Or your trust and your hope in this God that you say exists, it's a trust of foolish waste. He did not live in that kind of environment. He goes on to say, there are people who say to me, where is your God? Where is this God you worship? We can't see him with our eyes, so he must not exist. And so they mock the psalm writer. But as the psalm writer points out, these people had their gods. It wasn't the God, he says at the end of the psalm, who made the heavens and the earth. It wasn't the great and glorious creator. Their gods were the things on this earth, the things they could shape with their own lives, maybe their work, or their business that they could build up, or their career, or whatever it was. He's saying those things are their God. Their gods, the things they shape with their own hands. They are into those things. Those are the things that absorb all of their time and attention. And those are the things that they're putting their security and hope and trust in. So they have their gods, all right. These people mock him for his misplaced confidence. But where is their confidence? Where is their trust going to take them in the end? Or what will it bring them in the very end? You see, his close observation of these people is that although they do not glorify in his God, they are a worshipping people in the end, but their gods have no value at all, nothing to give in the end. Well, people, today, simply, it's not profound, but we give God the glory for the past things he has done. And as Steve said, really what I would like to do at this point in time is say to you, well, we're going to take the next 2 hours and we're going to share stories with each other about how God has been so faithful to us here at Trinity, how he has loved us in ways that at the time perhaps we did not even see it. We have been through crises, haven't we? Not just physical ones, but of confidence. We have been through times of questioning as a church, and we've thought, are we going the right way? And even people who have come to us and said, you know, we don't like what your church is doing because you've got too many of this kind of people in your church and too many of that kind of people, and your services are a little rough around the edges. And we go, oh, we're not nice reformed people like we're meant to be. And we have a crisis of confidence. You see, that's when we look to ourselves, or when some of you young ones have jumped out of the car and we've taken you to a wrong address and you run off into the dark and you've got our leaders in trouble, like what happened to poor John here when he just came to Auckland, came to us the first time. Somebody pulled a fast one on him. And then we end up with the community on our backs or family on our case saying, you Trinity people, you know, you don't look after our kids. And so we go, oh, where are we going? What are we doing? But God was faithful all the time with us, and he has been loving in the past. God has been steadfast in his love and faithfulness, the Trinity, and I can see that today. Secondly, the psalm writer, I don't know how old he is. We're not told. But as you guys would say today, he doesn't live, just because he's an older guy, he's not living back in the day. That's not where he's stuck. He's saying, Lord, you have been good to us in the past, back then, over 10 years. And so I give you the glory. I worship you. But, and this is something, Trinity people, please do this today, because I am. Give glory to God for what is yet to come. Amen? Give glory to God for the future, for what is ahead of you as a church. Keep your confidence and your trust firmly anchored in God's future grace. As we learned about a year ago. Was it a year ago or last year? Verses 12 to 14, the psalm writer expresses the confidence that there is more to come. And why not, after all, from a great, gracious God? The Lord remembers us, and he will in the future. He's going to bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both little ones, okay, way down here, little babies like Xavier. Well, he's not a baby anymore. He's about as tall as me when I met him this morning. And great ones alike, he says. Bless the Lord. He will bless them. May the Lord make you increase. Here is a prayer, not for the past, but for what is yet to come. Both you and, again, your children. No one's excluded in the future blessing. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, psalm writer says, great, great, great faithfulness experienced by God. Great faithfulness and good and grace yet to be poured out upon his people in the days ahead. He expresses a great, great confidence here that every single one of his people will be cared for and blessed. Every single one will be prospered through his grace. This idea of blessing, just all the things that God has to give that are good. Blessing, you know, it's a word we use, so bless this, bless that, God bless me here, bless this food, bless, bless, bless. What are we asking for? Well, we're asking that God makes good, that he makes what is in front of us, what we're dealing with, or if we're praying a blessing for that person, that he provides, works, gives, upholds, strengthens in a way that only he can do, that no human can do, that is good that comes from heaven to earth for us. As a result, he can say, Israel does not need to fear the gods of this life, of this earth, of this world. Israel does not need to worry that everyone, that it seems so many go chasing after the gods of this earth, of the things of this life. He says, don't let that put you off your stride. Don't let that put you off your faith in the Lord. Let them do that, but don't you do it. You trust in the Lord. And so he says, verse 11, you who fear him, you trust him. You who fear him, you who love him, you keep trusting in him. Even those times of doubt, those times, those crises of confidence, you will be blessed. And you know, here, I believe myself that the psalm writer here is thinking about the prosperity, the literal prosperity of the nation of Israel, that they would be economically well provided for, that they would be governed politically very, very wisely and well, and that God would not allow the enemies of the nations around to come and invade them. But I believe there is much, much, much more in this psalm. I can't help believing that he is looking not just at Israel, that little nation, but he's looking way, way ahead, when the glory of God would be real and living among his people in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the fulfillment of perfect love and grace. That's what I believe. When he says, may the Lord bless you, may Jesus Christ be in the midst of you, and may he bless you through the cross, through his life and death. And so he can go on and remind and exhort his brethren, O Israel, trust in the Lord, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, you who fear him, trust in him. Well, I have to tell you, I have to confess to you that when I started Trinity, you know, people said to me, most church plants last 3 years, and then you'll probably have to find another job. A lot of people said that to me. And sort of deep down, you kind of believe that, and you wonder, and yes, you worry. Rob, he's got the worry now. I'm not worried about you guys anymore. But you worry, and you think. But here's the thing. God's glory is not finished here in this church. You know, I don't know. I actually found when I was moving house our newsletter from our inauguration Sunday. And it had the songs on it and the speakers. Who can remember that day? Upstairs in the room? Just a few of you left. We were packed, and I was so worried the floor was going to collapse because there were some big people up there. But you remember the American guy that was there? Just a Presbyterian minister from the church in America wearing his black suit, and we were all like, oh, not dressed properly. But he said something that has always stuck with me. And he's not a charismatic or anything like that. You know, he's a real sort of very traditional Presbyterian, but he got up and he sort of made a prophecy, didn't he? Do you remember that? Christine remembers that. And he said this church will bless this community. He said, God is going, he didn't say, I think, or he said, he didn't say, God might. He said, God is going to use this church in this community. It always stuck with me, and I used to go around thinking, I wish. You see, his was more of a prayer than a prophecy, and it came to a reality. As Trinity trusts in God, as Trinity find its glory, its hope, and confidence in God, go forward, rest assured that whatever you see now, God has much, much more to give. To Rob, to Dan, you guys are the house of Aaron, right? You're the priest. You're the leaders. God has more blessing to give. To you who are members here, trust in him. When things start to get a little bit fuddly and go a little bit wonky, when you start to think things are going a little off the rails, trust in the Lord. Trust in his future grace. Trust in the blessing that he's promising you right here in this scripture. Have faith in his faithfulness. How? Hard in a skeptical world, isn't it? hard in a disbelieving society, hard when people say still today we cannot see God, so he must not be real. I heard a guy on the radio just the other day mocking people who don't believe in evolution. And the funny thing is about that is we cannot see that happening either, and yet we're supposed to believe it. Trust in the Lord even when, as this wonderful skit showed, when the pull of the world comes to you and says, come my way, come with me. When the love for money says, come with me, or the love for drugs or whatever it might be, or the lust for reputation to be cool or whatever it is, says, come over with me. Come my way. Live my way. Trust in the Lord, because he hasn't finished with you. Trust in nothing less than the Lord. Why? The gods, as the psalm writer says, the gods of this earth, in the end, at death, will fail you. They will fail you. But God will not fail you. Why? He's made a commitment. And that commitment was nothing less than to come from heaven to earth to live amongst us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now resurrected through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You see, this world in the end will leave us feeling cheated and robbed and empty. But God, the Lord, who blesses us, has held nothing back in his blessing. He's given everything. He's given of himself, second person of the Trinity, Jesus, the Lord, who is God and Savior, Son. In Jesus, we find the strength to overcome temptation, to overcome fear, to overcome doubt, to still the pain of grief, and to, in the end, conquer death. In Jesus, kids, listen to me. I don't know when I'll be back again to say this, and I know I keep saying it to you, but in Jesus, you find your purpose for being born into this world. Amen? It's not just to go to school. Keep going to school. It's not just to work. Keep working, earning money, give it to the church. But you see, you were born in this life to glorify God through Jesus, his most loved Son. And so when you trust in God through trusting in Jesus, you will find what you want to find in your life and for eternity. Eternity. Glorify God. Give him the glory today before Trinity. We celebrate his amazing faithfulness. And today, I hope together we pledge again for a minimum of another 10 years, our confidence in him as our glory. We pledge our devotion and our love and our trust to him again today. Helen, I miss you. Guys, so much. We miss you heaps. And I'm not an emotional man, so shut up. We knew that would happen, okay? After our going away service, we just went home and blubbered, okay? So we're big pussycats, really. You know what keeps me going? You know what is going to keep me going is this. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about Rob or Dan or Carl. It's about God. His. This is his work here. His glorious glorious work. And as you people trust in Him as your faithful God, I know that when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to walk around. I'm going to see Tim, and hopefully he'll still have his guitar. You know? And I'm going to see Haley and Keegan. That's what it's all about. We give God the glory because of His faithfulness and His love. May God bless you all as you trust in Him. May we together glorify Him. And may we love each other until we see each other again. If not in this life, in heaven, we will always be glorious and we'll always be giving glory. Lord, we want to thank you for who you are today. I want to thank you for the truth that you are an amazing, incredibly faithful, loving God. Lord, our words can't express how faithful you have been to what was once a little congregation struggling to find its way. Lord, you've been so faithful, even when we've been stupid and unfaithful, when we've walked in our own wisdom instead of yours. Oh, Lord, you're so good and loving. Lord, I pray, keep loving this church according to your promise in this, your word. Lord, keep upholding the leaders, and Brother Rob especially, Lord. May he find his hope and power in you. Lord, bless each member. Pour out your grace into their hearts, Lord, so as they love you, they love each other. And everyone who comes to this church, Lord, may they see you and your glory and your love and your faithfulness being lived out, if not perfectly, but, Lord, with a heart and a desire that it be perfect one day. Lord, for those who are sort of living around the edges of this congregation, draw them in, we pray, so that they, every Sunday, can come together to glorify you as a church. Lord, bless us, we pray, because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.